This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathirin kathirin. Fama ba'du. I was having an online conversation with a friend of mine. And he said the divisions in Islam are suicidal. So I said to him, I agree with you. And that is why that is a choice, because suicide is a choice. Right? Suicide doesn't happen. Suicide is done. Suicide is a choice. So if you're saying the divisions are suicidal, it means that this is a choice we are making. Why are we making choice? So the point I want to make for you and myself is, I want you to think about this, a little bit conceptual, but I'm sure you can understand that. Think about these three groups or three spaces. This is called the past, this is called present, and this is called the future. Right? Now, everyone has this, irrespective of where you are, irrespective of your nationality, race, religion, whatnot, irrespective of your time. The people in the year 1024, 1,000 years before today, had the same. They had a past, they had a present, and they had a future. And the people today in 2024 have the same thing, which is the past, is the present, and the future. Right? Now, what is our past? Our past is the future of the people in, say, for example, 1024. Not only 1,000 years, but whatever, right? Yeah. So their future is our past. What affected their future? What created their future? What they did in their present. What they did in their present created something which became our past. So now our past, whatever it is, at an individual level, your parents, my parents, siblings, where I was born, how I grew up, whatnot. At a larger level, the nation, the state, the community, the whole Muslim ummah, whatnot. Right? So we have a past. So in this past, we have kings and we have queens and we have ordinary people and we have good people and we have nasty people. Everybody. This past. Our present is right here. Absolute immediate presence is we sitting in this meditation room in Springfield College on the, today is what, the 27th of April? 28th of April, 2024. This is our March, 28th of March, 2024, right now. This is our present. The past is starting from 5 minutes before, right? So, going all the way to where we were born, and then, of course, beyond that, history. Now, how do you deal with this? The way to deal with that is to treat our past as a story to learn from. That's it. There is no other relevance of the past, right? If you allow the past to bleed into the future, into the present, then the past will color our present and make us act in ways which are not necessarily productive always. So the past, supposing somebody says, okay, then in that case, just forget the past. Ignore the past. No. Do not forget the past. Do not ignore the past. Because the past is a very big wealth. It's a big database of knowledge for us to learn from. I don't have to fall into the same hole as somebody else if I know the hole they fell into and why. Right? So then I know, no. This is not the right thing to be. This is what happened in history. This person had the same kind of dilemma that I have today, and they did this, and this is what happened to them, bad things. So why would I do the same thing? But if I did not have that memory, if it was wiped clean, then I would have to go through the same pain. There's no need to go through that pain if you read history. That's why history is important. So we treat history as a history lesson, as a story to learn from. Then what do you do? Then what we do is, in our present, we look at our challenges and we try to do the best for ourselves in today's world, taking some lessons from history. Now, not everything from history can be applied, and the idea of learning from history is not to do the same thing again, but definitely to learn from that and to apply it in our context today. So it's not the exact data point, but it is what is the lesson from that data, the conceptualization of that data. So take, for example, one of the most famous... Now, before I go to this. So now what we do becomes our future, because our action today produces some result. That becomes our future. So the important thing to understand is that our future is entirely in our hands. Allah gave us the power to write our own destiny in this world as well as the next. Whether my life is going to be happy and productive and beautiful, full of wonderful friends and relatives and full of beautiful relationships, whether I'm going to be influential, I'm going to be beloved of people, and so on and so on, all of that is in my hands. Nobody else. Every one of that. All the opposite of that is also in my hands. I can choose to become the most hated and person in the world, or I can choose to become the most beloved person in the world. Choose to. Whether I accept this or whether I am conscious of this choice or not, it is my choice. So whatever I'm doing or choosing not to do is affecting me in the future. And the future is right now. Like, out of this door is future. Right? So it's very important to understand that. Now, take for example. So how do you conceptualize? I want to give you another format. One is what we call a concrete experience. Right now, we are sitting here in this meditation room talking about something which is potentially useful, inshallah. So, concrete experience. From concrete experience, we go to what we call reflective introspection, right? So, you think about the experience. You say, I was here, this is what I was doing, this is what we were thinking. And we reflective introspection or reflective observation. So in your mind, you run that picture. I had a meeting with this person. That meeting went well, didn't go well, whatnot. He said this, I said this. Now, after the meeting, reflective observation, reflective introspection, you say, well, what could I have done differently? How could I have approached it in a better way? Right? Maybe I got angry and maybe I expressed my anger. Maybe it was all for the good, meaning that the anger was justified and so on and so forth. But was there a better way of dealing with that situation? I yelled at people. Should I have yelled? Was there another way? Even though I might say, well, you know, I yelled for a good reason. It was a justifiable yelling. But was there another way of dealing with that? Without the yelling, right? Could I still have conveyed the same message equally passionately, equally seriously, but without the yelling? Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Right? I didn't think about that at that time, but now, what was the consequence of the yelling? Next day, I have to go and apologize. Naturally, because I mean, some people get hurt, so you know, it's my responsibility. If I did the yelling, then be prepared. You also have to say sorry. Now, no matter how painful that sorry might be, it is painful, but it has to be done. So, lesson learned. Why did you put yourself in that situation where you had to now humiliate yourself and because you yelled. So, next time before you yell, think about what are the consequences. This yelling is going to produce that. No, I don't want this thing, so don't yell. Then there's no need, right? So, this is the way we learn from our own life experiences. So we call this conceptual, concrete experience, then abstract observation or abstract reflection, reflective observation. Third one is conceptualization. And that's what I just said. What's the concept out of this? Find a way of saying what you need to say, especially if it is critical, especially if you are angry about something. Do it in a way where you don't put yourself in a spot where you have to go and apologize. Because having to go and apologize is not nice. It's a painful thing. So don't get into that situation in the first place. But at the same time, should you just keep quiet and let things roll and let things happen, let wrong things? No, of course not. Of course not. You should not let wrong things happen. Wrong things must be stopped. If correction has to be made, and especially if you are an authority, you have to correct. But there are different ways of correcting. So the conceptualization is, correct people in a way which is with compassion, which is respectful, which does not put you in a spot where tomorrow you got to go back and apologize to the people. And then we come to the fourth stage, which is called active experimentation, which is try it next time. This cycle, we call this the cycle of adult learning. So this present is the most important time in our life, because whatever we do here, whether we like it or not, is going to affect our future. And the future is our destiny, whether it's in this world and, of course, in the hereafter, in the akhirah. Whatever I do here, it's getting recorded in the hereafter, so therefore I will be rewarded for it or not. Now, what do you do, therefore, if you inherit a situation which is negative from the past? As I said, we began with the Shia-Sunni kind of thing. So now, if you get landed with that. So supposing now you are working in a situation where you have, you are a Sunni and you have Shia colleagues and bosses and whoever, right? Or the other way around, you are Shia and the other people are Sunni. What do you do? Can you work with them? Of course. Why not? Can you work with Christians? Yes. Can you work with Jews? Yes. Do you believe the same as they believe? No, we don't believe the same. We believe different. So why can't you work with them? Because we say belief is in that space, let them believe whatever they want. Our workspace, the belief doesn't come into that. Or the parts of the belief which come into it are common. For example, don't lie, don't cheat, whatnot. Fine, we don't do that. But in the way they pray, they do it differently. Some of their beliefs, the aqaid, are different. We don't believe in the same thing. The way I remind myself is, that is true for anybody else. That's true for the Christians. Do we believe that Jesus is Son of God? No. Allah is Allah. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah. Who is Jesus? A prophet of Allah. What is our relationship or connection or attitude towards Jesus? Of the greatest respect, of greatest love. We revere him, right? As a prophet, we believe in him as a prophet. We believe that he was divinely inspired. We believe that he had no father. His mother, Immaculate Conception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced Jesus as a sign, like he produced Adam alayhi salam, Adam also as a sign. Jesus had no father. Adam alayhi salam had no father or mother. Jesus was born as a baby. Adam alayhi salam was born, within quotes, as a full-grown man. That is where people get confused. They say, Adam was created in his image. And they say, Adam was created in the image of God. No, Adam was created in his own image. He was created in the image of man. He was the prototype. He was the model based on which the human race was going to be propagated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that prototype called Adam. Adam alayhi salam was never a toddler. He was never a two-year-old, right? He was never a teenager with all kinds of problems. He was a full-grown, mature man the moment he opened his eyes. Now, why does Allah do that? To show his own power, to show his khudrat. So we worship him and say, Alhamdulillah, you are the creator. So the present that we have is the most important part of our lives. So this is very important to understand. That's the reason why we must live consciously. We must live with awareness. Not just go through day or morning, night, so many days pass. No. That is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, he said, for a Muslim, no 2 days should be equal. No 2 days should be equal. He said, every day must be an improvement on the previous day. And that is why the dua of this, the Bedouin who made this wonderful dua, where he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in very beautiful ways, and then he said, O Allah, make the last part of my life the best. Make my last deed the best deed. And make my last day the best day, the day that I meet you. Such a beautiful prayer, right? He said, make the last part of my life the best. Meaning what? Meaning my life must be on a constantly improving path so that the last part of my life is the best. Make my last deed the best. Meaning what? Meaning every deed of mine should be better than the previous one. Until I come to the last one, which is the best. And make my last day the best day of my life when I meet you. And I make this dua for all of us, inshallah. May Allah make the last day of our lives the best day when we meet him. And may our lives always be on a path of constant improvement so that we become better and better people as we develop. Right? And the key thing there is to live with awareness. Not routine, random living. Routine, random living is animal living. Animals live like that. All mammals live like that, right? You get up in the morning, you go eat some food, go back to sleep, whatnot. No. We are mammals, yes, but we are not mammals in the sense of we are not cows and buffaloes or something. We are human beings. Allah has given us intelligence, and therefore this must be used, inshallah. Right? Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.